Today on the Pastor Study, a Bible lesson is entitled, A Distorted View, A Distorted View. And we're going to, a lesson takes us to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 16, Matthew 13 through 16. So here we go. The Word of God says, Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. It is common for people, is it not, to have a distorted view of reality. Now, their perception results in a distorted view of God. Now, we just read the passage here in Matthew chapter 13, in verses 13 to 16. Jesus said that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Amen. They were, at the time, those alive at the time when Jesus was on this earth, they were looking at God manifest in the flesh and couldn't see him. In fact, today, many people have a distorted view of God. Think about it. Religion, education, bitterness, and similar things can really distort your view of God. You see him as you see him and not as he is, amen. And they saw him at the time, they saw Jesus at the time as a devil, amen. Now, we see that a person's or people's perception result in a distorted view of the scripture. Amen. The distorted view of the scripture. I want us to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse number 13, notice what the Word of God says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, people say this, and I'm sure you heard it time and time again. God will never put on you more than you can bear. Well, you know what? That's not so. God is faithful. Is he not? And he provides a way to escape. That's what our verse says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Now, if you miss these two elements, that God is faithful and he provides a way to escape, then you're going down. This verse has been corrupted to say something it doesn't say. Or the viewer has been corrupted to see something that the verse doesn't say. This goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 with the encounter of Satan and Eve. Now, let's look at Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12, and we want to look with that to Luke chapter 4, 10 and 11. So what I want you to do is go to Luke chapter 4, And we want to get Luke chapter 4 in one hand, because I want you to see this as we're talking about a distorted view of the scripture. Luke chapter 4, amen, in one hand, and we're going to look at verses 10 and 11 there. But first, let's go over to Psalm 91 for a moment, Psalm 91, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. And this has to do with the temptation of Christ. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil. Now notice in Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, it says this. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now let's look at Luke 4, verses 10 and 11. For it is written, he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And of course, here is the devil quoting scripture. But we want to notice something. The devil removed the following words. In all thy ways. He removed those words, in all thy ways, and he added, at any time. This is significant because all thy ways is in context of what it says in Psalm 91, verses 9 and 10, which says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. See, if Jesus was not in those ways of God, God would not have protected him. And certainly not at that time. You see, what I want you to see here, this is the danger of modern Bibles. The changes can be subtle, yet very harmful. Amen. And we know the devil is a subtle creature. Amen. Now, so we see the distorted view of God, the distorted view of scripture. Now we want to look at the distorted view of truth. The distorted view of truth. Amen. I want us to turn together to the Gospel of John chapter 18. And look at verse 38. What the Word of God says. Pilate saith unto him. Pilate's talking, having a conversation with Jesus. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. What is truth? Now, someone was said about the Bible, they said this, either the viewer or the mirror might be distorted. Now, distortion comes from applying a scripture incorrectly. See? And you're looking for confirmation from the Lord. So you see a scripture that says what you want it to say so that you can do really what you want to do. And this is a distorted mirror, amen? I know my years in the past, as a pastor, people come to me, can I do this or I can't, can I do that? And they're just looking for the blessing to do something that they shouldn't be doing, amen, when it's clearly prohibited in the Word of God. They don't need me to tell them that, amen. Or distortion comes from failing to see all the truth. In other words, you only see those facts that you want to see and overlook those facts that tell you the truth about the situation. See? Christians do this all the time. They're looking in the scripture. They have a distorted view about the truth. As Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. The word of God is truth. So they're going into the word of God and they're trying to look there to find something to give, say it's okay to do what they want to do. And they select a verse here and a word here and a word there. But they overlook those facts that tell them the truth about the situation. You know, that they shouldn't do that. So they have a distorted view of the truth. Or another thing folks will do is that they'll add facts to what's really going on to paint a picture that's not there. See, this is a distorted view. Again, the devil started all of this business. Amen. With Eve there in the garden, and when he questioned, yea, God hath said. Did he really mean it? Did he really say it? Or people look at the scriptures, does God really mean this? Yes, he does. It's written down in his words. Amen. And if you don't follow and be obedient to you, you're in a world of a lot of hurt and trouble. Amen. As a Christian, you're going to come under the chastising hand of the Lord. He's going to try to get you back to where you really should be. But we're looking today at a distorted view. Amen. And it's really common for people to have a distorted view of reality. And a distorted view folks have of God. They have a distorted view of Scripture, distorted view of the truth. They also have a distorted view of sin. A distorted view of sin. Amen. Now, let's turn together to the book of 1 Peter. And when we get to 1 Peter, I want us to look at chapter number 2, verse 24. Notice what it says here. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. The Word of God says this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we see that the Word of God says that Christ, okay, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. You know, when Jesus was up on the cross and he said to the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God's wrath was being poured out on sin, on Christ. All our sins were on him. God hates sin, and judgment must come. And judgment came upon Christ, the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. This verse tells us clearly that you and I were dead to sin. That was our condition. Now, where does the distorted view of sin come in? Well, people with a distorted view of sin think like this. Jesus bore all my sins. Therefore, I don't need to confess them. Yeah, but what saith the scriptures? Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1 in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But look what verse 8 says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Amen. We all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. And when we sin, we are to confess those sins. Even though Jesus bore all our sins on the cross, past,
present and future, we still need to confess them, according to the Word of God here. And, you know, people's attitude will say, and what I'm doing now is the way God made me. See? God loves me as a child, so these affections are not vile. What does the scripture say? Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Amen. God, people say, I'm doing what I'm doing is the way God made me. God didn't make someone a homosexual or a lesbian or some other form of perversion. No, he didn't. We know in the book of Genesis, he made Adam and Eve, did he not? Male and female, did he not? They were married, did they not? God married them in the Garden of Eden to be fruitful and multiply. So God does not love that vile affection. He hates it. Or the other thing you'll hear, well, I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want. I'm under grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Because you're under grace, sin is not to have dominion over you. So just because you're under grace doesn't mean you have a license to sin. Because then sin will have dominion over you. And because you're under grace, it should not. You should be dead to sin. It should not have, it shouldn't be part of you. Amen. You shouldn't be yielded to it. You're no longer under law, you're under grace. And here's another good one. You'll hear folks say, well, I have liberty in Christ to do whatever I want to do. Amen. I get liberty in Christ. Well, what saith the scriptures? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yeah, liberty, you're free from sin. See? Not free to do whatever you want to do and do whatever sin you want to do. See? That's the distorted view of sin we're looking at here. People have a distorted view of sin. Do they not? Now, when you see someone thinking like this, who is vile, you know they are wrong. But when the little sins of your life manifest themselves, you say, like they do, well, that's just the way I am. No, my friends, the listeners, it's sin. It's sin. Christians are not reminded enough about sin. Amen. Their sin nature. Part of you didn't get saved, the flesh. It's sinful, it's wicked, it's selfish. It wants nothing to do with the things of God. The problem today is, even amongst Christians, they have a distorted view of sin. Amen? Now, let's look at this one here. Distorted view of children. Distorted view of children. For this one, I want us to turn to the book of Judges for a moment. In the book of Judges, in chapter number 17, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Judges 17, 1 through 6. And there was a man of the Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about what thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we know the end thereof is death, those that do things that are right in their own eyes. Now, Micah's mother had a very distorted view of her son. He was a thief. But she said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. He made graven images, which he set up in his house, contrary to the second commandment about making graven images. Amen. And what this started in an idolatry that was picked up by Dan when they went to Laish. And that idolatry continued through Jeroboam's golden calves. And in fact, it will continue right through the reign of the Antichrist, when Daniel is excluded from those who are protected by the angel in Revelation chapter 7. Another example, amen, of this distorted view is described in Mark chapter 7. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 7. And in Mark chapter 7, I want us to look at verses 10 through 13. Mark chapter 7, verses 10 through 13. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. And of course, Jesus is quoting here the fifth commandment, to honor thy father and thy mother. Goes on. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whosoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect, through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. This also could be not only a distorted view of children, but a distorted view of the scriptures. Amen? Because what was happening back then is, now we know the fifth commandment said, honor thy father and mother. But there was a tradition of men, religious tradition, amen, that made the word of God of none effect. When you put tradition over the Word of God, you're making the Word of God a non-effect. Amen. In other words, the tradition of men are the final authority and not the Word of God. But what was happening here, if an individual gave a gift to the temple, amen, then he was excluded from keeping the fifth commandment. See? He was excluded from, it was substituted for obedience to the fifth commandment. See? Who didn't want their precious little darlings to be hurt by enforcement of the law. You can't excuse bad behavior and sin just because your children are the ones doing it. Oh, do we see it all the time? People criticizing other people's children for how they're living their lives and what they're doing. But when their little Johnny and their little Mary are doing it, it's, you know, well, you know, they make it an excuse. Amen. See, the thing here is, what Christians need to do to learn is to know when you have a distorted view. You know, a lot of times emotions get involved, and emotions will distort your view, will it not? About reality, about things, and so forth and so on. So, as we looked at today, about we looked at a distorted view of God. See, we started out in Matthew 13, verses 13 through 16. And that's what Jesus was condemning that religious crowd about. Because they had a distorted view. They had a distorted view of God to begin with. Because here's God manifest in the flesh, and they didn't see him. And Isaiah, he quotes Isaiah, who said the same thing back in the day of Isaiah. They had ears to hear, but they didn't hear. They had eyes to see, but they didn't see. And the reason for that was inside their hearts had grasped, amen, worse. We saw today what a distorted view of Scripture will do, what a distorted view of the truth will do, a distorted view of sin will do, and a distorted view of children would do. See, you got to make up your mind. Is the Word of God, the Holy Bible, the King James Bible, going to be your final authority? Okay? And you should view everything by the book. And ask yourself the question, is what the Bible says, when you're saying, is it what the Bible actually says, or what you are making it to say? A lot of people do that, do they not? They make it say something else. And again, that goes all the way. That's of the devil. Goes all the way back to Eve when Satan had a conversation with her in the garden. And we know what happened. Because we're the mess that we're in now is a result of it. Because she had a distorted view of what God had to say. Is it the way, then you need to ask yourself, is it the way it is or the way you see it? Again, the Bible is your mirror. Use it. Amen. Do what it says. And go in the way that it says for you to go. Amen. Well, we're just about run out of time. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me, Brother Gino Cassieri, for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.